Please turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we'll look at verses 8 through 11 this morning, the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, reading from verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Let's pray. Father, as we come now and turn in your word to study it this morning, to look together into your word, to dig together into this mine of great treasure, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our tutor. We ask that he would be our guide and that he would lead us. Father, open your word, we pray, that we might behold your glory as it is found here. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the fourth commandment of all the commandments, I think, is without doubt the most controversial. It is the commandment, as Sinclair Ferguson once said, that determines whether we follow a Decalogue or a Novemalogue. There are significant disagreements about whether or not Christians are still bound to observe this commandment, and if we are, how we are to observe it, and when we are to observe it. There are a myriad of issues that surround this. But before we can tackle those questions, we have to try and get back and understand what this command meant when it was first given. We have to take ourselves back and understand why this command holds a place in this list of commandments. We have to understand why there is a fourth commandment at all. Before we can understand the place of this commandment now, we have to understand the place of the commandment then. Just like everything in our Bibles, before we can understand how it applies to 21st century America, we have to go back to its original context. We have to get inside their heads and understand what they understood when they received this command. And only then can we bring it forward into our life. So, what was the purpose of this Old Testament Sabbath? The first and essential thing we must understand is the purpose of this command. We have to understand what this command is for. And the great purpose of the Old Testament Sabbath was to remind the people of God who they were and to whom they owed their lives. The great purpose of this commandment was to remind the people of God who they were and to whom they owed their lives. It was to be a weekly reminder that they owed everything to the Lord their God. It was, as it were, a standing memorial to remind the people of God to fix their eyes on God and to find their rest and their satisfaction in Him. Now, we talk about the Ten Commandments as being divided up into two tables. The first table covering the first four commandments, and the second table covering the following six commandments. In other words, the first table covering the vertical aspect of Israel's life, how they are to relate to God and how they are to understand their relationship with God. And the following six, helping them to understand how to relate to their fellow man, how they are to relate in their community, this horizontal aspect. The first table governing how they relate to God, the second governing how they relate to each other. And this command, this fourth command, stands as the final command in the first table. And in doing so, it stands, as it were, to underline everything that has just been said. So we have the first commandment, in which we're told that we are to have no other gods before Yahweh. That this Yahweh is a God that demands total allegiance. He will not stand in a pantheon with other gods. He will not be worshipped as one God among many. But if Yahweh is to be worshipped, he is to be worshipped alone as God. He demands total allegiance. And the second that was related to it, that we are to have no idols. We are to worship God as he has told us to worship him. Not in imitation of the pagan religions making idols and images of God, but instead just listening to God. As we said when we looked at that second commandment, our God is a God who is not to be gazed upon, but listened to. And the third commandment that we looked at last week, not to take the name of the Lord in vain. We are to deal with God with reverence and respect because he is worthy of it. He is due reverence and respect simply because of who he is. And now comes this fourth commandment. And it stands, as it were, to underline those first three commandments. And it comes to us and it says to us, remember them. Remember these first three commandments. Remember who God is. And remember who you are. Remember that your God is Yahweh. Remember that he alone is to be worshipped. Remember that he is the God that you are to give glory to in every aspect of your life. This Sabbath day is to be set apart as a great memorial day. It is to be fixed in the calendar of Israel, reminding them weekly of who God is and who they are. Now, one of the amazing things about the Bible, I think, is just how realistic it is. The Bible, in many regards, is a very gritty book. It's a very real book. It doesn't sugarcoat life. This is not a book that is full of some kind of mystical fairy tale. But it is a very gritty book. It is a very real book. And it is very realistic about life. Never does the Bible give the impression that life in this world would be easy. Never does it give the impression that life in this world will be a walk in the park. Not even once we come to a knowledge of God. Not even once we are brought into the covenant community. Not even once we become a Christian. A lot of what Jesus says towards the end of his ministry is preparing his disciples for just how hard life will be now that they have been brought into the covenant community, now that they have become the people of God. And he says to them, don't think that this will be a walk in the park. This will not be an easy life. People will not praise you because you bear my name. They will arrest you and they'll throw you in prison and they'll persecute you. So you said before, what our brothers and sisters in Indonesia and Brunei and the Philippines face today is a far more normal Christian experience than what we are facing. The Bible is realistic. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Well, friendship with God is enmity with the world. Life is hard, according to the Bible. It doesn't sugarcoat it. It doesn't look at life through rose-colored glasses. It says that life in a fallen world is hard. And in fact, it is often more realistic about how hard life will be than we are. The Bible speaks of a world that is taken captive by sin. It speaks of a world in which everything is warped by sin. It tells us of a world in which man wrestles with man, a world in which man wrestles with nature. It prepares us for a world in which we find mild, wide tornadoes sweeping through suburban housing. It is incredibly realistic about how hard life in this world is. It tells us that there is an active devil who attacks the people of God, trying desperately to convince us that God is not good, telling us that if he was, it would be some other way. This world can be a very difficult place in which to live. Even if we surround ourselves with every kind of creature comfort, difficulties and distress always follow us. Family strife does not end at the gate of your community. Workplace tensions are present. Even if you're the boss, they don't stop when you clock off, but they follow you in your mind all the way home. And all of this can be very distracting. It is so easy for us to take our eyes off of God and to put them on ourselves. It is so easy for us to take our eyes off of God and put them on our circumstances. Like the man who is crossing that shaky rope bridge, it is easy for us to look down and to see the dangers all around us and to be paralyzed with fear and anxiety. It is so easy for us living in a fallen world to functionally, if not explicitly, functionally say to ourselves, well, once we get through this storm, then we'll get back to God. Just let me get through this. Then I'll start going back to church. Then I'll start reading my Bible again. Then I'll start praying again. Just let me get through this storm and I'll get back to God. It is so easy for us to be distracted from God. But God, in his grace, has given the Sabbath day. God, in his grace, has written into the rhythms of life this commandment, this great reminder of who he is and who we are. This day, this Sabbath day, functions like a spiritual reset button that every week reboots our system and reminds us that God is God and we are not. This day takes us from the storm in which we are tossed to and fro by frustrations and heartbreaks and trials and temptations, and it reminds us that God is in control and he will not let us perish in the midst of this storm. It takes us and reminds us that God is God and we are not, and God forever remains in control, even though there are times when it does not look like it. Now, parents know how children, especially toddlers, can just get carried away when they throw fits. There are times when a child begins to throw a tantrum and they just lose control. This has been astonishing for me, watching our little daughter Ada grow up and watch her as she begins to throw a fit, and it is evident that there comes a point in which she's just not in control anymore. She couldn't stop even if she wanted to. It just takes over. And at times like that, we need to go to her and we just need to hold her. We just take her in our embrace, we just hug her and we comfort her, and it calms her down. She's out of control, but when we come with our parental embrace, it calms her spirit and she settles down. In a sense, that's what the Sabbath does. It comes to us and it holds us down. And it says to us, remember who God is. Remember who God is. Remember who God is. You see, many people try to get rid of this command because they see it as nothing more than a burden. They see it as a weight. They think of the observance of the Sabbath as being nothing more than just a set of rules to be obeyed. When they think of the Sabbath, they think of a list of do nots. They think of a lot of black-clad, stern-faced ministers ready to puncture your football if they catch it being kicked on the Sabbath day. Many of you have probably seen Chariots of Fire, that great film about Eric Liddell. And there's a scene in which he comes out of the church on the Lord's Day, and he finds these boys just kicking around a soccer ball, and he grabs their ball and he turns to them and he says, "Not today, boys, it is the Sabbath." And we think to ourselves, that's what the Sabbath is, right? Somebody ready to take our ball. Somebody ready to take away our fun. This list of do nots, this list of do not have fun on this day. Do not enjoy yourself on this day. But you see, the Sabbath is not a burden. The Sabbath is not a burden. This day is a delight. This day is good. This day is a gift from God. This is why Jesus, when he was speaking with the Pharisees, rebuked them. And he said to them, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Here were the Pharisees with their long list of rules about what they could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. What might constitute work on the Sabbath? How far could you walk before it was considered a journey and so breaking the Sabbath? The Pharisees, who we have a debate recorded in which they thought to themselves, if an old woman goes out for a walk on the Sabbath and she falls and hurts herself, can you take out a stretcher to bring her home? Because what if somebody drops that stretcher and it makes a groove in the ground? Isn't that plowing and so doing a work on the Sabbath? Here were these Pharisees that were tripping over themselves to try and determine where they could go on the Sabbath. They had turned the Sabbath into a burden. This list of do nots, this list of rules, and Jesus turns to them and says, "You fools, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. This is a gift for you. You were not made to be a slave of this day. This day was not given to be a harsh taskmaster. It is a gift from God. It is good. This day is good. It was made for you. God gave this day for you." As one rabbi said, this day, the Sabbath day, is a sanctuary in time. In the midst of all the noise and the busyness of our daily lives, in the midst of that deafening noise of heartbreak and trial, comes this day of quiet. It is this sanctuary in time that releases us from the trials of the week. I remember somebody once used the illustration of going into St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan. So you are walking along the street and all the noise of the city is just buzzing in your ears. All the noise of Manhattan as it is reflected off of all these buildings, this cacophony of life in the city. And you open up those wooden doors and you go in, and almost immediately the noise of the city recedes and you come into this sanctuary of silence. From the busyness of the city, you enter into the rest of that sanctuary. That's what the Sabbath does. It takes you from the noise of your daily life, from the noise of your daily work, and it says, stop working. It comes to you from that daily striving after the things of this world, and it says, just stop and remember God. It is not, I am not allowed to work on the Sabbath. It is, I get to not work on the Sabbath. This is a gift. God said to you, do not work on this day, because He loves you. And because He was giving you a gift, saying, this day is a sanctuary. This is the day on which you stop. And you enter into that silence. It reminds us that our hope is not found in our jobs. And it is not found in our paycheck. and it is not found in all the other things that characterize the other 6 days of our week. It gets us to stop. It brings us into that embrace, and it calms us down, and it says to us, your hope, your satisfaction, your contentment is found in God and in Him alone. This Sabbath was made to serve us. It is given to us as a gift from God that we might remember who He is. But how does it do that? How does the Sabbath remind us of who God is? Well, first of all, it reminds us of creation. God says here in verse 11, having given the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For, because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Sabbath reminds us of who God is by bringing us back to that creation week. We set this day apart because God set apart the seventh day and blessed it. And as we rest on this day, we are taken back to that creation week, and we are reminded that that divine Sabbath followed that divine creation. And we are reminded that God rested on that seventh day, having created everything that is in those first 6 days, not by the sweat of His brow, not by the work of His hands, but just by His very words, speaking all that is into being. Here, this Sabbath day says to us, here is your God. Here is your God that rested on that seventh day after making everything and doing it just with His words. Here is your glorious and great creating God, the God without whom nothing was made that is made. It says to us, your God is unlike any other. Everything in creation obeys His command. He made it and He rules it. He's created it and He sustains it. This is your God. So while you look around yourself and you see a world twisted by sin, and you're confused by disease and death and destruction and natural disaster, the Sabbath day brings you into its embrace and calms you down and says, remember, your God is that Genesis 1 creating God. He rested on that seventh day, having made everything that is, having sent the stars into space, having set the sun in its place, having set the earth on its axis, having created everything that is in your world. The Sabbath says, this is your God. He is the great creator, and you are the creature. It says to us, remember, you don't owe your lives to yourselves, to your works, to your ability to sustain your lives. It says you owe everything to God. Everything. There's not a drop of rain that falls out of the sky apart from this creator God. He is the God who created rain. He's the God who created water. He's the God who created the atoms and the electrons that make up the water that falls from the sky. It says to us, there's not a penny in your pocket that God has not given to you. It says there is not a morsel of food on your plate that God has not brought to you. It simply reminds us, you are the creature. God is the creator. So first of all, the Sabbath reminds us of our place in relation to God. It reminds us that we are in a place of dependence and reliance, and that is hugely important. When we find these waves of struggle breaking upon us, when we struggle through our weeks, when we are anxious about the rising price of gas and troubled by that disputed work, or concerned that not enough work is coming in, when we find ourselves ground down by the daily slog, this fact that God is the creator and we are the creation, that God is God and we are not, this reminder is a gift. It is gospel to us. This is good news that we are not in control, but we know the one who is. And so when it feels like our lives are out of control, we come to the Sabbath and we are reminded that God is in control, and that is good news indeed. But this day also reminds us of God and His greatness, because it reminds us not just of creation, but it reminds us of redemption. In Deuteronomy 5, where this command is repeated, we're given a different rationale for why this command is important. Instead of rooting this command in creation, Deuteronomy 5 roots this command in redemption. And it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day holy." According to Deuteronomy 5, the Sabbath day is to stand not just as a reminder of our position in relation to God because of creation, but it is a great reminder of our position to God because of redemption. In other words, the Sabbath does not just remind us that God is God and we are not. It also reminds us that God is our God. It reminds us that this God who made everything and who upholds everything, this glorious creative God is not just a God, not just God, but is our God. This is the God who has covenanted with us. This is the God who has remembered that covenant to the point of delivering His people out of their slavery. Now, to the Israelites, God had given that great annual feast of the Passover, this great standing memorial of the greatness of their redemption by grace. Every year, they were to observe this feast of Passover, and every year, they were to take a lamb. And every year, they were to be reminded that they were brought out of Egypt only because a lamb died. Only because that lamb died in their place and His blood was put on the doorpost and the lintels that the angel of death passed over their house. Every year was this standing feast, this memorial feast, that they were saved by grace. But in addition to that, God gave them this weekly memorial, that every week on the Sabbath day, as they stopped work, they were reminded that their salvation was not due to their works, but simply to the grace of God. But this aspect of the Sabbath is only seen fully, of course, when we see it in light of Christ. This aspect of the Sabbath only truly and fully comes alive when we see it in light of Christ, who brought our true redemption by grace, saving us by standing in our place before the wrath of the Holy God and dying the death that we should have died because of our sin, but not staying dead in that grave, but wonderfully rising from the dead on that third day, coming out of that tomb, showing that His sacrifice was perfect, that there was no more to be paid. Showing that He had perfectly brought us into the rest and fellowship with God. In fact, so clearly was this seen by the early church that they moved the Sabbath day from the last day of the week to the first. We read in the New Testament, in Acts 20 and 1 Corinthians 16 and in other passages, we find the early church not gathering for worship on the seventh day, as was the Jewish synagogue practice, but meeting together on the first. And so the seventh day turned into the day of evangelism, as Paul went into the synagogues and he told them of Christ, the one who fulfilled the Old Testament. But it was on the first day that the early church met together. This was the Lord's Day. This is the New Testament Sabbath. as we meet together on the first day of the week, and doing so, remembering Deuteronomy 5. It is only as we realize the greatness of Christ, it is only when we realize the fullness of the salvation which He has brought, not just in His death, but also in His resurrection, that we can really understand what it means to be reminded on the Sabbath day of the redemption that we have in God. As we gather on this first day of the week, we celebrate this redemption that we have in Christ. We celebrate that we have been brought into this ultimate Sabbath rest of fellowship with God. That because Christ rose from the dead on this day, the Sabbath is seen in all its beauty and its fullness and its glory. And so we, as Christians, enjoy the Sabbath as the Old Testament saints never could. And so when the temptation comes to take our eyes off of God and put them on ourselves, this command comes. This day comes to us and tells us that everything that we have and everything that we are is due to God, our Creator, being our Redeemer. And that because of Christ, we have a security in Him that cannot be taken away. We have a true peace that circumstances that cannot remove. We have a true rest that cannot be robbed by us. No matter how hard life gets, this day brings us into its embrace and tells us, remember the greatest trial of all. Your enmity with God has been taken away because of Christ, and everything else is now to be seen in light of that. Everything else is nothing. You have the ultimate peace because of your rest with Christ. Because of Christ, we rest in the knowledge that we who were once far off because of our sin have now been brought near. And we have been united to God as His people, as His children. And so what the Sabbath does, essentially, is remind us that we have no other God but Yahweh, who has spoken to us through His commandments. And this God is great. And this God brings us peace. This is a day in which we rest in God. It is a gift for us. The Sabbath was made for man. It is a gift. It resets our souls. It reminds us who we are by grace alone. Someone once described the Sabbath as a day on which we stop worshipping the idols of technical civilization, a day on which we use no money, a day of armistice in the economic struggle with our fellow man and the forces of nature. It is a sanctuary in time, a day in which we stop working, and we remember that our hope does not lie in our paycheck or in our promotion or in our grades. It's a day in which we simply stop and fix our hearts on the greatness of God our Savior, the one in whom our true peace is found. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You this morning for the gift of this day. This is, as our Puritan forefathers said, this is the market day of the soul. This is the day in which we come and we feast. As we are reminded of the greatness of our God and the greatness of Your work for us. Father, help us to rejoice in this day. Help us to delight in this day, and help us to see this day as a gift. Father, we know that there is much that tells us it is not. There's a world that reminds us of all the work that is stacking up in our inboxes. A world that tells us that there's so much other things to do. But we pray that You would help us to see that this day is a gift, that You made this day for our good, that we might come and remember who You are and what You have done. Father, bless this day, we pray. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.